West Virginia Black Bear Baseball here on the Black Bears Radio Network. We're about to get underway. Ryan Mann's about to start warming up as the Field of Dreams Little League team, the third base side. I'm Michael Seitz alongside my broadcast partner, Manny Maradiegue, and we are ready to go.
Very, very happy that this game started on time. Big credit to the umpiring staff to getting out here on the really perfect timing.
So tonight's starter for your Black Bears is Ryan Mann, 4-2 with a 5.61 ERA. This will be his fourth start. He's thrown 25 and two-thirds innings, allowed 16 earned runs on 33 hits, walked 12, struck out 21. Mann features a four-pitch mix, fastball, curveball, slider, changeup. Here is how the defense behind him will set up. From left field to right field, it'll be Adon Fernandez, Turner Hill, and Ruben Fontes. Around the infield, Jack Elliott, Anthony Stellan, Maddox Houghton, and Ryan Hernandez, who gets to start over at first tonight. Nolan Metcalf will do the catching of Ryan Mann. What are you expecting from the big 6'5", 180-pound right-hander?
I'm expecting him to get settled into this one a little bit later than the normal starters, just because he does do his work out of the pen, so it is a little bit different getting used to coming and facing these guys, the opposing team, right out of the gate. So you don't know what they're feeling or how they've done during the game if you're just watching from the pen. So watch for him to have a little bit of growing pain in these first couple innings.
The lineup for the Scrappers is as follows. Bucko, Prater, Weller, Washington, Gonzalez, Ponce, DePasquale, Porter, Acosta. So it'll be Dominic Bucko, Will Prater, and Jeffrey Weller to face big number 62 out on the mound. Tall and lengthy, you'll see a lot of arms and legs thrown at you. I've been told that about me, Manny. You know, I'm only 6 foot, but I'm only about 155, so I got the long limbs here. It can confuse the batter if you're good enough. I'm not nearly, but you know.
I mean, it doesn't help that they're also standing on that mound, so we might be seeing these innings go by quickly.
We can only hope. So Bucko stands in out of Youngstown State University. He's hitting 300 on the year here in the draft league. He only hit 2-4 table setter. As the first pitch is in there for a strike, we are underway. Bucko is a 2022 second-team All-Horizon League player. He previously played at a community college. As that one runs inside and nips Bucko on the elbow pad, and he's awarded first base.
Just very unlucky for Mann. It was a pretty good location, but just the way that Bucko was kind of crowding the plate a little bit just from his stance, did nip him there a little bit on the elbow.
Yeah, definitely not a bad pitch. Didn't get away from him. It was just a little bit inside, and you mentioned crowding the plate. So unfortunate is a good word for that for the Black Bears. So that'll bring up Will Prater out of Western Carolina University, where he hit 332 this year. Impressive stuff. Two homers, but 45 RBIs. As Mann sets and delivers the first pitch, showing bunt and pulling back is Prater. They're going to appeal, and yes, says Cam Haney out there by second base. He did not get it back in time, so no balls and a strike. Definitely the right decision to send that one down to the field umpires. Mann comes set with a runner on first. Nobody out here. The pitch is in there for a strike. Quickly, 0-2.
They've been very efficient, but just with that fastball, seems to be finding the location of that very well early on.
But Dallas, Georgia is Will Prater. He was 2022 second team All-Southern Conference, as that pitch is chopped to short. Stellan will flip to Houghton for one. Houghton to first. It's a double play. Just what the doctor ordered for Ryan Mann, and Maddox Houghton is finally able to get that turn down.
Absolutely, and as we've seen, as you liked it, Stellan flips it to Houghton, and Houghton does a great job of pivoting on that left foot and firing it to Hernandez. Good recovery there for Mann after allowing that hit by pitch.
So that'll bring in Jeffrey Weller, the utility player, is DHing tonight out of the University of Pittsburgh, my hometown. I know Mountaineers down here don't like the Panthers that much.
Yeah, not very fond of those Pitt Panthers.
As that one is swung on and missed, blew it right by him, 0-1. Of course, the backyard brawl getting renewed.
Yeah, very soon. Very soon indeed.
As the 0-1 pitch is fouled off to the right side. Yeah, we'll get to see Pitt destroy the Mountaineers.
JT Daniels will say otherwise, I'm sure.
I keep forgetting that he's at West Virginia now. It's the battle of washed-up quarterbacks, Daniels versus Slovis. As Mann's 0-2 to Weller is in there. He struck him out looking on the 86-mile-an-hour curveball, or slider, excuse me. So it's a pretty harmless top for the first inning. Eight pitches. We're through half of an inning. No score on the Black Bears Radio Network. Back here at Mon County Ballpark for the bottom of the first inning. Ryan Mann, a harmless top. So that'll get us set here for the bottom of the half of the inning. It's Mason Palmiere out of Missouri Baptist University in Baldwin, Missouri. He stands at 6'3", 215 pounds. The right-hander was very good at Missouri Baptist this season with a 3.01 ERA and a bunch of strikeouts, 94 to be exact. Has struggled a bit here with an ERA in his five starts. He's walked 10 to 13 strikeouts, so has not found the same success here, but will definitely look to find it here against the Black Bears. The lineup here, Turner Hill, Maddox Houghton, Ryan Hernandez, Logan Matthew, Adon Fernandez, Jack Elliott, Ruben Fontes, Nolan Metcalf, Anthony Stellan. Hill will stand in first out of Marietta, Ohio, in Marietta College as he takes a strike at the knees, 0-1. Hill hitting .488 here in the draft league. As Palmiere winds up and delivers, Hill chops it to the right side. Gonzalez has it. He'll flip onto first, but it's going to be late. It's a hustling infield single for Turner Hill.
Very confused at what Gonzalez was trying to do there. I think he was just all the way trying to flip it to Palmiere, but it would have been easier to just tag or step on first base himself. A little confusion there grants the Black Bears an early runner.
So that'll bring in Maddox Houghton. The Scrappers' defense is as follows. In the outfield from left to right, Acosta, Bucco, and Washington. Around the diamond, third to first, Ponce, Prater, DePasquale, Gonzalez. Porter does the catching of Palmiere. So here's the first pitch to Houghton. It is also in there for a strike at 87 miles an hour, 0-1. Maddox Houghton out of Lipscomb University in Dalton, Georgia, hitting .410 here in the draft league. As the first, second pitch to him is up high, a ball, the first one of those by Palmiere tonight. It's one ball and a strike.
Almost identical to the first pitch, adding a little bit more gas, trying to confuse Houghton there, but Veltri says no on the strike call.
As Palmiere will step off. We got a pretty good crowd here tonight, Manny. 80s night and fireworks night. Of course, fans still trickling in by the group here as this is chopped up the middle. A nice play by DePasquale. Steps on the back for one, throws the first. It's a 4-3 double play. So just as the top of the first started, so does the bottom.
Yeah, and DePasquale did what I wanted Gonzalez to do just previously with Hill. He stepped on the bag himself at second and threw it over to Gonzalez and got the double play himself.
So Ryan Hernandez will step in now. Still coming out to milkshake. Gotta love it. University of Houston, where he was tied for the team lead in home runs and second in RBIs, and we have seen why here in the draft league as the first pitch is chopped over the Scrappers dugout into the netting for strike one. Hernandez has the MLB draft league record in home runs at 12 and counting. He broke that when he hit his 10th last week. He hit two in the series against the Keys. as this one is fouled off to the right side. Quickly 0-2 on big number 1-8.
Batting 350 there, and rocking the all-white uniform, all-white everything here tonight. Very interesting. Isn't afraid to stand out out there for sure.
Oh, I love it. Looks clean. The only thing that isn't white, he's got the black helmet, the black Evo shield, and the black shin guard, as that one is off the windows of the suite level and caught very nicely by a fan who appropriately brought his glove.
Very nice snag there, and giving it to a younger Black Bear fan. You'd love to see how active the fans are. Very attentive.
Very nice grab. Always have to keep your head on a swivel. The 0-2 once again down low. Nice pick by Porter, but bounced in the dirt. So 1-2. We know Hernandez has that pop. Always a threat to go yard against a guy who's given up 5 home runs this year. The 1-2 is chopped back over the reach of the pitcher. The shortstop, Prater, up with it and does not have it. So it'll go down, I'm going to guess, as an infield single. We will see, though.
Yeah, both of them tried to barehand it there. Palmier failed at it, and then Prater tried to run onto it, and I think he was undecided to glove it or barehand it there, as I said, but he was too late by the time Hernandez reached first.
It's a very tough play. It was just hit so slow, and it chopped off the turf at such a high angle. So that'll bring up Logan Mathieu. Mathieu had that 2-homer game a couple of nights ago, a victory. As the first pitch to him is inside, dusts him off the plate, 1-0.
Comes into this one with 29 hits, batting 305, so definitely the right guy you'd want to have there at the 4 spot for sure.
Out of Liberty, he only hit 197 this season collegiately, but he had 15 home runs. That led the Atlantic Sun, as that one is laced to right field, a base hit. So first and second and 2 outs for the Black Bears.
Yeah, I mean, Mathieu there showed off the further those impressive numbers. Absolutely scorched that one through the gap there of second and first, and just one hopped it to Washington. And the Bears continue their early cooking from last night.
And whatever Mathieu was doing or was not doing at Liberty that had him struggling average-wise, he's figured it out. He's well over 300. He's at 305, and that, he just probably went up to about 310 with that base hit there. So that'll bring on Adon Fernandez out of Nova Southeastern. He takes a strike at the knees, 0-1. Fernandez is hitting 355 here. He hit 306 at Nova Southeastern this year with 12 homers and 45 runs batted in. And that one is chopped to second. With it is De Pasquale. He'll throw on to Prater to end the threat. So we'll head to the top of the second, excuse me. I'm getting my innings all mixed up early here. No score here on the Black Bears Radio Network. Pitchers moving very quick in their warm-ups, Manny, as we're back here for Black Bears versus Scrappers. Top of the second inning, no score. Ron Washington Jr., Gabe Gonzalez, and Oscar Ponce will be the first three hitters for the Scrappers here. Washington Jr. out of the University of Pittsburgh as well, another Panther. They have Pitt guys batting 3 and 4 tonight. Washington hit 276 with 15 home runs and 42 runs batted in at Pitt this year. Back when he was a freshman in 2018, he was an all-ACC third team and all-freshman team honoree. As Mann gets ready for his second inning of work, and the first pitch is fouled off to the right side, 0-1.
Washington comes into this one, 259 in the batting average here in the draft league. And, again, we'll have a tough task facing Mann, who has seen early success here with the location especially.
The 0-1 is inside, just missing for a ball, 1-1. Ron Washington actually won the MLB Junior Select Home Run Derby in high school. Some pretty good competition in that contest as well, as the 1-1 is bounced, two balls and a strike. Washington out of Houston, Texas, 6'1", 225 pounds, playing right field tonight. Mann looks in, then delivers the 2-1 pitch. It's in there for a strike, so 2-2 on the scrapper cleanup hitter.
There's no doubt which pitch he has felt most comfortable with, Ryan Mann. That fastball is working wonders for him so far.
Mann delivers the 2-2. It is chopped to second. It'll be Maddox Houghton. He'll throw on to first for the first out.
And Houghton would never have any trouble fielding that one, as it was laced right to him, but fielded it off the one bouncer and softly tossed it to Hernandez for the first out.
So Gabe Gonzalez will step in now. Gonzalez is a 224 hitter on the year out of Cal State University Northridge, CSUN for short. He hit 250 there with 11 homers and 39 RBIs. As Mann winds up and delivers, that one is lifted out to center. Hill on his horse towards the right center field gap and makes a fantastic running catch. So two away in style, looking like Maddox Houghton out there.
Absolutely, and an outstanding play there. I think Hill is definitely not as fast as Houghton, or it doesn't seem to be just from the way they run, but either way, the catcher feed was exceptional there and makes the outstretched grab there. Takes a little bit of the wall there, but good second out.
They'll bring up Oscar Ponce out of the University of Texas Arlington. 272 home runs and 30 RBIs there. He was a transfer from Texas Southern University this past season. As he will chop the first one to Houghton, and Mann is already in the dugout as the Hernandez picks it out of the dirt. Houghton still struggling a bit with his throws, but it works out. So a 1-2-3 inning. We'll head to the bottom of the second. No score on the Black Bear Radio Network. Back here on the Black Bears Radio Network for the bottom of the second. They've got no score right now. It'll be Jack Elliott, Ruben Fontes, and Nolan Metcalf for your Black Bears. Elliott in last night's game was 0-for-3 with a walk after homering in Wednesday night's contest at a Mercyhurst University in Willoughby Hills, Ohio. first pitch to him is going to be chopped back to the screen. A foul ball, 0-1.
Another guy that's close to the 300 mark in average, 299, has 18 runs and 23 hits so far in this MLB draft league.
It looks like we might have an injury here to the catcher. Taj Porter is bent over, crouched in some discomfort. I'm wondering if the backswing might have hit his wrist or hand.
Yeah, I think that was his hand the glove was on. Definitely seems to be holding that left wrist there, flexing it.
See if we can get a replay or not. Here it comes. You get a look there. Goes to pulling it off. Oh, the ball hit off of the catcher Porter's forearm. Off the foul ball. I don't know. And then it hit the screen, too. I don't know if I've ever seen that before.
Yeah, definitely a stinger there for sure. Definitely hitting off probably one of the bones there in the wrist. But it does seem like he will be able to continue.
Hopefully. He's flexing it right now. He's squeezing the trainer's hand. He's putting his mask back on his helmet. So I think he's going to stay in the game.
Something to look towards, though, especially if that trying to field any wild pitches or pitches in the dirt. If that glove hand isn't fully 100%, it could hinder that, definitely.
So he'll get a couple of pitches or a pitch here. It is the receiving arm, so it's not the throwing arm, it's the receiving arm. He's still shaking it off. He's lucky it's not that bad because that could be broken forearm territory
definitely.
There. So he's going to continue. He's good. 0-1 on Jack Elliott. Nobody out here in the bottom of the second inning. How many times will I get the inning wrong tonight? And that one is swung on and missed. So 0-2 quickly here on Elliott. I actually thought I was going to be calling Mahoning Frederick a lot tonight. I haven't done that yet.
It's a long game. It's a long game, folks. We'll
see. We've just played Frederick so much.
Yeah, that's true.
The 0-2 pitch is up high for a ball. Honestly, the last time that I called a game that was not the Frederick Keys, you'll have to go way back to the State College Series when I was with you for the first time.
Wow, I didn't know that. That was a long time
ago. I've called like 12 straight Frederick games because I missed the first Mahoning trip here because I was off that series. As that one's outside 2-2. And then the six-game stretch in June, I think it was Frederick and Williamsport was here.
Yeah.
I missed them. As that is swung on and missed, strike three. Elliott goes down swinging for the first out.
Good comeback pitch there. We're not seeing any struggles out of Porter there after receiving a couple. We do see him grimace. He doesn't seem to be lacking in his play, though. But good first strikeout in the game.
That brings up Ruben Fontes out of Northwestern. What I was going to say before the injury to Porter is that before that Elliott at-bat, the top seven in Jed Jerko's order are all hitting 299 or better, as that one's fouled off to the screen, strike one. And then the top two in the order are hitting above 400. That is just unbelievable at any level. So Fontes comes in at 305, the two-sport star at St. Augustine High School, as he takes a ball low, 1-1. His father actually played football at Columbia, so family full of athletes. As that pitch is inside and almost clips him, but Fontes gets his hands out of the way, so two balls and a strike. Fontes out of Bonita, California, playing right field tonight for the Black Bears after he got last night's contest off. Palmier sets and delivers. It is in there for a strike, so two balls and two strikes on Fontes.
And for both pitchers, not bad of a start. The location seems to be there for both guys.
The 2-2 pitch, chopped to the right side and foul. We'll do it again.
Almir was on his horse over there. Got to first base very, very quickly.
Yeah, he's not messing around after Turner Hill beat that one out.
Uh-huh.
Which, of course, wouldn't matter in the long run as Houghton hit into the double play. Everything works out. in baseball most of the time. Everything balances and cancels. Beautiful game. Two balls and two strikes here to Fontes. The 2-2 once again is up high. Full count now, 3-2.
Fontes doing a very good job of just being patient. Something we didn't see that much of the hill. Very aggressive and got a couple hits out of it.
The pitch is chopped back up the middle over the outstretched Palmer and into center field. It's a one-out single for Ruben Fontes.
Palmer will be kicking himself over that one. If he were to field it, he would have definitely recorded that out, but took a good bounce and was too fast there for D. Pascal to make a play on it. And Fontes, yet again, finds himself on base.
So that'll bring up Nolan Metcalf. Metcalf looking to officially get out of his slump as he comes into this one hitting 128. Of course, he had two hits in last night's contest, hit the ball hard three of his four times, and that one's rolled over softly. Prater, he'll go to second for one, on to first. What a stretch, but oh, he's rolled off the base and safe, so the inning will continue, but an unbelievable stretch by Gonzalez over there.
Yeah, very showing his athletic side over there, and the way Metcalf hit it, I thought Prater took too long to deliver it to D. Pascal, and the fact that he got over to Gonzalez and almost had the double play was impressive, but not for not as he did slide off the base.
So that brings up Anthony Stellan. He comes in at 273. So that's eight of the nine hitters are hitting over 273 or better in Jed Jerko's lineup. As Stellan fouls us off over to the Scrappers dugout for strike one. That's just straight up impressive.
Yeah, it's remarkable, especially with Stellan being there at the bottom of the lineup, but he had three hits, if I remember correctly, two nights ago. So top to bottom, this lineup's been very impressive this second half.
The 0-1 to Stellan is chopped back. Palmier will get this one. He'll flip on to first to end the inning. So we will head to the top of the third. No score here on the Black Bears Radio Network.
The WVU Cancer Institute offers innovative treatment options for benign and malignant liver tumors. Our comprehensive team of experts creates an individualized treatment plan combining cutting-edge medical, radiation, and surgical therapies tailored to your needs. Our board-certified, fellowship-trained oncologists offer industry-leading minimally invasive techniques for smaller incisions, meaning less pain and a faster recovery.
Pepperoni and cheese patty with the win tonight. She now has 10, tying Hot Pepper Hank at 10 for second place. Dave with 11 in first. It's a tight race.
Oh, yeah, the cut it to being only one game behind. It's getting tight out there for Dave. He hasn't won in a while.
We will see, of course. Dramatic ending to the season.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be 7-8-9 for Mahoning Valley. Parker DePasquale out of Salt Lake City, Utah, and Texas A&M Texarkana will take a strike to start this one, 0-1. Man sets and delivers the 0-1 pitch. It is just inside, doesn't miss by much. Count evens at one ball and a strike. DePasquale hitting 254 on the year as he fouls that one off onto the berm on the right side, 1-2. So for reference, the Bears have seven players hitting over 295, and eight players hitting over 270. The Scrappers have Bucko at 300, Weller at 292, and that's it. As the 1-2 is up high and away, two balls and two strikes. So that just shows you the difference between these two teams.
Just emphasizes that pitcher just completely falling off you throughout the season.
As that one is rolled over, Stellan has it now at short. He'll throw on to first, quickly one away. Mann continues to work.
Not messing around there. Stellan absolutely fired that one into Hernandez, but Mann gets a good grounder there, gets DePasquale reaching, and easy out for the Black Bears.
So it'll be Taj Porter coming up, so that means he can grip a bat after being hit in the forearm with a foul ball, a painful area, not a lot of muscle there. It's bone. So good to see he is all right out of Southern. Of course, Black Bears have a couple players out of Southern as well. As the first pitch to him is outside, never threatened the zone, ball one. Porter hit 235 with five homers and 31 runs batted in at Southern this year. Sitting 195 here in the draft league. As Mann delivers, swinging and missing as Porter, 1-1.
Only eight hits to his name thus far.
As he's a 2021 second team all SWAC member as well. The 1-1 by Mann is in there. A nice pitch at the knees, framed well by Metcalf. That's our first good frame job of the night. 1-2.
Again, I can just... pretty evident to see that Rand has these Scrappers batters reeling.
The 1-2 pitch, he got him, a beautiful curveball right to the glove. Porter can't believe it. He goes down looking, two away.
Just shaking his head in disgust there. We have to have a replay of that. And yeah, absolutely just beamed it in there, and Porter had no chance that he didn't even see it. And again, just walking back in disgust.
Straight up fooled by that pitch. It was beautiful by Mann. Brings up Tyler Acosta. First pitch to Acosta is in there. Mann peppering the zone, hitting his spots, painting corners, Manny. 0-1.
Yeah, I mean, I said he would have a little bit of trouble. Quite the opposite. He has just been absolutely dealing so far.
This pitch is flared to right field and slicing foul onto the berm. Was hit well, but sliced out of play. So 0-2 to Acosta. 2021. He hit 378. That was 2 years ago. Also in that same year, he had two home runs in the same inning versus Truman State. That's impressive. As the 0-2 pitch is down low, no offer and a good block by Metcalf. Count moves to one ball and two strikes.
Definitely on that last foul ball, Acosta had one of the better contacts that we've seen off of Mann thus far this season, especially with that pitch being so far inside.
1-2. A lazy fly ball to center field. Turner Hill goes back, then comes in. He is under it. He makes the catch. So Ryan Mann has now set down eight in a row and has faced the minimum through three innings. We'll head to the bottom of the third. Scoreless here at the Mon on the West Virginia Black Bear Radio Network. Back here on the Black Bears Radio Network for the Gore here at the Mon. As Ryan Mann has seen nine batters, has faced the minimum, has allowed a hit by pitch, but that was erased on the Will Prater double play. For the Black Bears, they have hit four guys on base, one erased by a double play, have not been able to scratch one across yet, though. It'll be Hill, Houghton, and Hernandez, 1, 2, and 3, to go up against Mason Palmiere. Palmiere winds up, and the first pitch to Hill is outside, ball one. Around the draft league, Frederick and Trenton in the top of the second. The Keys are up on the Thunder, 3-1. As Palmiere winds up, and the 1-0 pitch is in there for a strike, 1-1. In the game that everybody in the draft league should be watching closely, State College in Williamsport, the Spikes up 4-0 and threatening for more in the third. As that pitch is inside, 2 balls and a strike to Turner Hill. And why that's so big, Manny, is because it really doesn't matter where the Black Bears finish. It's whichever team that's not the Black Bears finishes highest in the standings goes to the championship game here at the Mon on Tuesday, September 6th. As the 2-1 pitch is chopped, ooh, off of Hill's front leg. That hurts.
Definitely caught that left ankle there as he collapsed there off the contact, but he's walking it off.
He'll have a black and blue mark, maybe a bump there tomorrow morning. He seems to be okay as you get a look at the replay. Ooh, it's off the inside of the foot. That's a bad spot. He sees okay, though.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely not affected by it at all, but definitely felt it right off the contact for sure, as many, many would.
So going back to my original point here, the Black Bears have a 1-game lead on the Spikes and a 2-game lead on the Crosscutters as Palmiere winds up and delivers way outside, 3-2. Black Bears already in the championship game, so it's whoever finishes higher out of those two, which is basically those two are left at this point. A big weekend set in State College. The Spikes have won, what is it, 6 in a row? 5 in a row? 6 in a row?
6, if I'm not
I believe
wrong.
It's 6.
Yeah.
As the 3-2 to Turner Hill is flared to the left side, giving chase to Ponce Prater and Acosta, but it goes off to the berm. We'll do it again. 4-0 in the third inning, looking to win their 7th in a row. And like I said, it's crucial for State College and Williamsport that series. State College can extend their lead to another 2 games. That is over the Crosscutters. As Turner Hill sees another payoff pitch, here it comes. He swings and misses a rare strikeout and a bad swing for the first out.
It was in a good location where Turner Hill, it did seem appetizing to him, but he will be lamenting that swing because it was out of the zone and a bad strikeout here, but good for the Scrappers.
So now Houghton, Maddox Houghton steps in. He bounced into the 4-3 double play his last time. It's a beautiful night here at Monongalia County Ballpark. Breeze feels fantastic up here. The first pitch is outside, ball one. It was 83 degrees and partly cloudy at game time. A little warm in the sun, but field in the shade now. Breeze is very nice. It feels like a nice late summer evening. The 1-0 pitch is fouled off to the right side, 1-1.
Always gets a lot nicer when that sun does go down, especially on today when it was only partly cloudy. But as you said, Mike, definitely very good conditions up here for us too.
Good outside weather, whatever activity that is. As that ball is fouled off to the screen, good darting weather. Of course, as now 1 ball and 2 strikes on Maddox Houghton out of Dalton, Georgia and Lipscomb. Hitting 405 after bouncing into that double play his first time. Palmiere winds up and delivers. It is fouled into the glove of Porter. A nice grab back there for out number 2 and strikeout number 2 of the inning.
Porter showing off that hit to his wrist isn't really affecting him as he kept the glove strong there. And back-to-back strikeout too for Palmiere who seems to be settling in just about now.
Hernandez coming in now and some of the... All of the fans in the crowd are loving this walk-up song as much as we are. They're dancing and singing down there. Hernandez coming up to Milkshake now. Changed his walk-up song last series. First pitch to him is belted to left field and deep. Acosta's going to have room, though, and he makes the grab. So Hernandez didn't get it all and lines out to left to end the inning. We're going to the top of the fourth. No score here at Monongalia County Ballpark.
joint replacement. One of the most successful surgeries ever done.
We're back here in Monongahela County Ballpark for the top of the fourth. It'll be Bucko, Prater, and Weller. 1, 2, and 3 for the Scrappers here. Man winds up and delivers the first pitch of the fourth. It is hit up the middle. A diving stop by Stellan up to his feet quickly, and Hernandez is unable to pick it. It goes into the stands. He will be awarded second base. So we'll see if it's rolled a hit or an error. It was a tough play.
Outstanding. Fielding it perfectly in the glove, pops right up, throws it to Hernandez, who just finds it difficult to, as any first baseman would, field it off the turf. They're coming in so hot.
So at the moment, they're awarding him a hit, which would end Ryan Mann's no-hit bid. I don't know. It's probably the right call. He'll definitely get to second on an error. That brings up Will Prater, who bounced into a double play his first time. Of course, Bucko was hit by a pitch in the first. Both pitchers cruising in the early on. Definitely been a pitcher's duel thus far. Third baseman Elliot Weyen on the grass, expecting a bunt. Does not get it. Instead, it's chopped to him. He looks behind him. No play. He'll throw across the diamond. A productive out number one. It moves the runner to third.
Yeah, really no play there for Elliot to even try and tag. Bucko going to third. It takes a sure out at first. And now the Blackbirds definitely have to be careful here to not give up the first run.
So they are giving Bucko a single officially. He'll advance to second, more than likely on an, I would call it an E6 instead of an E3. Hernandez had to pick that.
It's hard after not playing first and being out in the field, getting some action for a long time.
Not the best throw either, so. Single and an E6. He's at third now as this one is going to get down and into the gap. So that'll score a run. Fernandez misplays it out there. So Weller will keep on chugging. He's heading to third, and he's in safely, which with what you got to think is going to be a double and an error.
You know what's funny? It always seems to happen with us commentators. We were praising the defense of this Black Bears early on, and then just Fernandez tries to field it and just slips or hits his foot, and again, he'll have to go field himself an easy triple there for Weller.
So we'll see what that is scored as. You got to think that the misplay will have something to do with it. So for now, it's just a base hit. We'll get you that one. Nothing Mahoning Valley. Here with one gone in the third. So that'll bring up Ron Washington Jr. out of Pitt. The first pitch to him is lifted to the right side. That's going to get out of play. Strike one.
Washington grounded out his last time back in the second, but has a good opportunity here to keep the pressure on Mann.
Second pitch to Washington is lifted to right and deep. Making the grab there. Wait, for the final out.
You know what I think it was? I think Veltri was kind of singling over to third. Maybe that he didn't step on the bag. That's why I was looking for Weller, but I couldn't find him. I would think that would have to be the only reason why he wasn't out there.
That's very odd. Nothing was made of that, and the Black Bears are running off the field, so maybe he did miss second base.
That's what I was thinking.
We're going to try and clear that up for you when we come back, but it's three outs for West Virginia somehow. We'll head to the bottom of the fourth, 1-0 Mahoning. So we're back for the bottom of the fourth here. It'll be Matthew Fernandez and Elliott as the Bears trail 1-0. So we're going to try our best here to tell you what happened in the top of the fourth. So it was a leadoff single by Bucco. He advanced to second on a throwing error, we think, by Anthony Stellan. Will Prater bounced out to third, which allowed the runner Bucco to go over there to third base. Then Jeffrey Weller hit a ball to the left center field gap that scored Bucco, and he wound up at third because of a misplay by Adon Fernandez, as the first pitch here to Matthew is outside ball one. He was standing at third last I looked. Mm-hmm. The next thing I know, Ron Washington is flying out to right field, and the inning is over. That's only two outs. We look at the field, and Weller is nowhere to be found, as Palmier delivers, looked inside, and that's a good frame job by Porter. He brought it back into the strike zone, 1-1. So what we think happened up here is that Weller missed the base second base bag. We're not sure. We're waiting on confirmation from that. But either way, there were three outs recorded somehow. But the Scrappers do lead it 1-0 as that one is down low, 2-1.
Our home plate umpire, Veltri, did motion over there to Cameron Haney. I wasn't sure what he said, but I'm assuming that's what it was.
That one is swung on, missed for strike two. We'll definitely try and clear that up whenever we know, because we're just in the dark as you at home. I missed that completely, Manny.
I didn't see Will walk up at all.
2-2, Matthew fouls it off of the press boxes, and a nice one-handed catch by a fan. That's twice tonight. Count remains 2-2.
Got to be more impressed than the other one. He completely barehanded it and kept the drink without any spillage, so definitely an extra point.
3-2 after this pitch here. The 2-2 pitch is high and tight, 3-2. Here's how it's read on the GameCast, our official scores. Jeffrey Weller doubles his third on a line drive to left fielder Adon Fernandez. Dominic Bucco scores. Jeffrey Weller out at second. Second baseman Maddox Houghton. So we assume that means he missed the bag, as that's ball four to Logan Matthew, a leadoff runner. I've never seen that happen before, and it be so, nonchalant. Like, oh, yeah, he's out. Argument, nothing.
It was it's because Veltri didn't really move. He just took his mask off and kind of, shouted over there and said something, and then just Weller was off, and nobody even, reacted from the Scrappers dugout, so that's really what played into it.
And no coach went out and asked for an explanation as Fernandez swings through strike one at 88, 0-1. You know, if Joe Oliver was here, he would probably have gotten ejected for that one.
We'd still be seeing Joe Oliver out there.
Oh, man. 0-1 off Fernandez, a runner on first. The Scrappers lead at 1-0. That one is off the glove of Porter to the backstop, so Matthew will advance on either a wild pitch or a pass ball. So it'll be interesting to see. Right now, Mann is being tagged with the earned run, but, of course, that could change. One nothing, Mahoning Valley here in the bottom of the fourth. Runner on second and nobody out. As The 1-1 pitch is hit to center. Bucko coming in, not going to get it. It drops. So Matthew will have to hold a third as he went about halfway to make sure that ball was going to get down. So first and third, nobody out. The table is set for Jack Elliott.
Yeah, absolutely. Playing it safe all the way. Doug Matthew right off the contact, just making sure it drops as it did right in front of the flying Dove V out there. Runners on the corners. Now the Black Bears have found the most successful far in this game.
Jack Elliott will come in now. He homered the other day into the West Virginia bullpen. A deep fly ball is all that on. Palmier pitching well up to this point. Faced the left-handed Jack Elliott. The first pitch is in there. No low, ball one. So it's a wild pitch that Matthew will advance the second on. He goes to third on the bloop single by Fernandez, which he had to wait to make sure it wasn't caught. Lots of stuff going on here, Manny. Lots of stuff. 1-0 is in there for a strike. A good frame there by Taj Porter.
Palmier definitely working a lot in the outer part of the strike zone there for all the batters he's faced, lefty or right.
One ball, one strike now to Jack Elliott. The pitch is high and tight. Bending out of the way is the third baseman, 2-1.
Almost caught him there again on the elbow, as similar to the way Ryan Mann hit Prater.
Absolutely. So we got two balls and a strike now on the West Virginia third baseman. The pitch is in there, finding that outer black once again. Two balls and two strikes.
Not sure if Elliott is talking to himself out there or just talking to Beltre out there. Didn't seem to agree with that call, but good frame job there by Porter.
Probably a little both. Two balls, two strikes on the West Virginia third baseman. Here it comes. It is outside. He keeps getting a little further and further, but that's what you got to do as a pitcher. You just go until the plate ump doesn't call it anymore. So 3-2.
Absolutely. That time Beltre didn't agree with that. Runs the count full, and wouldn't be surprised if he goes back there again.
He's going to check the runner first. He's back safely as Fernandez. You know, going back to the top of that fourth inning, I was all discombobulated up here because I was filling in scores in the wrong inning on my scorebook. Man only threw five pitches. So crazy as the runner goes, but it's outside for ball four. Go ahead.
No, yeah, I was just going to say very, very impressive either way, and it's not like he was really at fault for those hits being produced. There was a lot of fielding errors, so Man just continues to really roll if you don't account for those two errors.
Which is odd as well, because on the scoreboard and the game cast of one error, on the scoreboard they have zero. One should be the proper thing. It should be on Stellan at short, because the error that would have been on Fernandez is null because he missed second base.
Right.
Actually helps the Black Bears that he made the error. So the bases are loaded and nobody out for Ruben Fontes, hitting .313 on the year. Definitely somebody that you wouldn't mind having up there if you're Jed Jerko and the Bears.
I can't agree with you more, as Palmier has worked the outside part of the plate, but definitely has to throw some more hittable pitches now, as he has walked two so far in this inning.
First pitch to Fontes is rolled on the ground, just foul, 0-1. So the Scrappers defensively in the outfield, they're playing straight up. In the infield, the third baseman Ponce is in, about even with the bag, about one step back. The shortstop deep in the hole towards second base, all in the outfield grass. The second baseman playing closer to second than his normal position. He's about halfway, and the first baseman is playing in on the grass as well. As this one is, little cue shot to left, Prater giving chase, and it's going to drop. A run will score. Coming around now is the runner from second. He scores, and the ball is going to get to the backstop, allowing runners to advance to second and third. It's 2-0 Black Bears. There might have been a collision in left. I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone, Manny.
Well, can go wrong, will go wrong there. And Prater, I thought Acosta had it all the way, and Prater just got in his way there, and was the worst thing that happened was for them to both overrun it, and it didn't. The ball was just sitting out there until Prater turned around and threw back into Porter, but a very poor throw, and Porter obviously couldn't field it. And the things have just gone from bad to worse. Bases loaded, giving up two runs with runners still in scoring position.
There's a reason Mahoning is 7-18.
Enough said there. Enough said.
Two bloop singles in this inning that have literally just dropped in no man's land. So that brings up Nolan Metcalf. The 0-1 is ripped to the left side and over the shortstop's head on the bounce. A run will score. And Metcalf maybe getting off the schneid here. It's 3-1.
Hard hit ball. Hard for anybody to really feel that, Prater. And that just like short hopped over the glove there. Didn't get the body behind it. It was always going to get into left field. Acosta did a better job of throwing this one in. But still, the Blackfish are cooking now, 3-1.
So 3-1, West Virginia. And we'll have a conference on the mound. It'll be the pitching coach, Ron Mahay, out to speak with his pitcher, Mason Palmiere. First and third, still nobody out. Stellan will be the next to hit. Three in the inning.
Beltre cutting that meeting short there, or as short as he wanted it to. Everyone gets back into their respective positions.
So that'll bring up Anthony Stellan. He will hit with runners on first and third and nobody out. Palmieri's first pitch is chopped to third base. A tough play by Ponce for one across the diamond, not in time. It's an RBI fielder's choice. That'll work. It's 4-1 Bears.
Again, perfect hit. They're not the most ideal, but a tough play for Ponce over at third. Gets a shot at second, and always going to be a tough pivot there for Deep Pasquale to try and get Stellan, who cruises safely into first.
So Turner Hill will come up now with one away and a man on. Four runs in on the inning already for the Bears. They have seven hits tonight already. Three in this inning, along with a couple of walks. Palmiere delivers. It's fouled off too.
We do get our first action there in the bullpen. It seems from me there, somebody warming up in the scrappers bullpen. Could be a short night here for Palmiere.
Palmiere's 0-1 pitch to Hill is flared deep down the left field line, but foul. He's getting closer to both fair territory and that wall out there.
Yeah, that's a good point there. And I'm sure the scrappers coaching staff has realized that, and with the home runs he's given us so far this season, it's no surprise somebody is warming up out there.
No balls, two strikes to Hill. Here's the pitch. It's high and tight for a ball, 1-2. You mentioned there is an arm up for Mahoning. We'll work on an ID for you as the count now moves to 1-2. Palmiere comes set and delivers inside. He's going to try the pickoff move to first, throw behind the runner, but he's back safely. 2-2 on Turner Hill.
Called out on strikes there. I thought that pitch was very much inside or even too high on that, but Beltre thought otherwise.
Wow, okay. I didn't even see Beltre make a strike three, like, gesture.
Yeah, neither did I. But I guess Turner Hill, I just saw Turner Hill walking back and
okay. This game keeps getting weirder and weirder. Two outs, apparently. That'll bring up Maddox Houghton. He rolls the first one to short. He'll throw on to second, and I'm for sure that is the third out this time. So the Bears score 4-on-3 hits. As this game stays bizarre, we'll head to the top of the fifth. Black Bears lead it 4-1.
Don't let seizures control your life. Fight back with the WVU Epilepsy Center. In our state-of-the-art facilities, we help adults and children manage epilepsy and seizures and offer the very latest surgical treatments. And the WVU Epilepsy Center is a level 4 treatment center, helping people in the region and across the country take back control of their lives. Call 855-WVU-CARE or visit wvumedicine.org/RNI/epilepsycenter.
Back here for the top of the fifth inning at Mon County Ballpark. Ryan Mann back out. 4-1 West Virginia somehow in maybe the most bizarre frame I've ever seen. Definitely the most bizarre frame I've ever called in my short broadcasting career.
Just a very nonchalant calls, I guess, out here by Tony Veltri and just the entire umpiring staff. Not real big strikeout justice or any to make that.
First pitch to Gonzalez is lifted to left field. Under it is Fernandez. He'll make the catch. So one pitch, one out. Ryan Mann came into this fifth inning. He's only thrown 33 pitches, Manny.
More than efficient there as Fernandez makes that easy fly out there in left field. And the pitches have been in good location, but unfortunate for the Scrappers that they just haven't found the holes like the Black Bears have just in that last inning.
So that was pitch number 34 for the first out here in the fifth. As that one is in there for a strike, Mann's been efficient. Mann's been very good. And really has only had that one blemish so far. The 0-1 pitch is fouled to the screen so quickly, no balls and two strikes.
If he could get that off-speed pitch to fall in there like we saw second, if I'm not mistaken. No, make that the third when he strike out Porter. He could be going for a lot more innings than people might have thought.
The 0-2 pitch is up high, one ball and two strikes. Oscar Ponce up here. Out of Brownsville, Texas. The 1-2 pitch from Mann is sawed off to shallow center. Houghton is under it and avoids the streaking Stellan. The center fielder playing second base takes charge out there, two away.
Yeah, just as well of a job he does out in center field, fielding that one. No problem for Houghton, who really does it all, calls off Stellan. Two quick outs here, and again, it goes without saying that Ryan Mann will looks to be getting out of this one fairly quickly again.
Nobody up in the bullpen for the Bears. That's what you like to see at this point. Cruise control, really, is the first pitch here to DePasquale. Is down low. And Mann really hasn't thrown many balls tonight. He hasn't thrown many pitches, but hasn't thrown many balls. As the 1-0 is also outside, of course. I jinxed it.
Yeah, the strikes and that fastball location has been quite impeccable here tonight for Mann. It's been definitely, without a doubt, his best pitch.
9 of his 40 pitches have been balls. So 31 of 40 strikes thus far. As that one is put in play, it counts as a strike right to the center fielder, Turner Hill. 1-2-3, let's go hit, says Ryan Mann. We will head to the bottom of the fifth inning, halfway home at the Mon, 4-1, West Virginia. So it'll be Mason Palmier, back out for the fifth inning as a couple of relievers make their way down to the bullpen for Mahoning Valley. And the pitcher is back up and throwing. Once again, we will get you an ID on him. It looks to be number 36. Michael Spinozzi is warming for the Scrappers. So more than likely the last, possibly the last inning, I should say. If he gets in trouble, does Palmieri, I would expect for manager Homer Bush to go to the reliever. As that State College Williamsport game, the Crosscutters have come back and tied it at four, Manny. So 4-4 in the top of the fifth, a brand new ball game. As Frederick and Trenton, the Keys still lead the Thunder 3-1. The first pitch to Hernandez is belted to left field, but once again, the Park's going to hold it. It was hit hard, just right at Acosta. So a couple of lineouts and a single for Hernandez thus far went away.
Yeah, very unlucky there. Just hit it right where Acosta was. Jumped off the bat, but just, again, the location was not favorable to him. And the most of now.
So Logan Mathieu now. He singled and was erased on a fielder's choice to end the first. Walked and scored to lead off the fourth last inning as West Virginia sent eight to the plate. The first pitch is down low for a ball. 1-0 to Mathieu. Of course, if Palmieri gets a 1-2-3 inning here, or it's pretty quick either way, he might get the sixth as well. We will see. He's at 66 coming into this. That's pitch number 69, and it is hit hard and deep to right field by Mathieu, and not being able to make the catch as the right fielder, Washington, it will bounce over the wall for a ground rule double. That's probably a ball that should be caught.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. It's just Ron Washington does not have the catcher speed as Howen or Hill does, and it just inches away from him, to be fair, but I hit it with a lot of power, a lot of venom out there, bounced over the wall, easy, no doubt, double.
So that'll bring up Adon Fernandez. First pitch to him, hits him in the lower back or back side. It'll be first and second with one out.
Yeah, lucky for Fernandez, it wasn't one of those fastballs. All clearly an off-speed pitch there, just tags him on the left side of the back, and Palmieri knew it right away.
So Jack Elliott comes up to the plate now. He came up with runners on the corners last inning and walked to load the bases. Struck out his first time. He scored his last time up as well. 4-1 West Virginia here in the bottom of the fifth. The first pitch to Elliott is checked, and it goes to the backstop, and the runners will advance. Fernandez even slipped but was still able to get to second base. So I believe it was ruled a ball, but the runners will be on second and third with one out.
Yeah, it just seemed like he was a little bit unsure about the call there, Fernandez, but was always going to make it to second without any trouble there.
So for now, we're going to treat it like it's a 1-0 pitch. Here it comes. It is lifted to center. Retreating is Bucko. Tagging at third is Mathieu. Bucko makes a catch. Both runners tag. The throw comes into third is a good one, but he will beat it to the bag as the ball hops up in the air. It's a sacrifice fly for Jack Elliott. 5-1 West Virginia.
Yeah, as soon as you heard it go off the bat, you knew Mathieu had a good chance of coming home on that one. And just tagging on another run, 5-1 now, and with the runner still in scoring position here.
So that's how you do a job if you are Jack Elliott. So Ruben Fontes will now be tasked with trying to bring home the runner Fernandez from third with two outs. He had a two RBI single last inning that made West Virginia take the lead, I should say, as that one is in there for a strike. Tony Veltri has been a bit subtle with some of his calls tonight. That one was very emphatic, strike one. Fontes has two singles tonight, two RBIs and a run. This pitch has popped way up in the air to the right side, bending towards the dugout, but there's going to be room there, and the catcher, Porter, makes a nice grab. It's a tough play for a catcher, and the inning comes to an end, but not before the Black Bears tack on one more. We will go to the top of the sixth inning, West Virginia leading 5-1.
The
Experiencing any symptoms or medical concerns? A WVU Medicine primary care provider is your first point of contact for improved well-being. WVU Medicine's primary care providers deliver top-quality care close to home for patients of all ages, from infants to seniors. They span a wide variety of conditions and, if needed, can refer you to a WVU Medicine specialist for more advanced care. Visit wvumedicine.org/primary care.
I bet McClanahan over 8.5 strikeouts. He has 7 through 4. Good stuff right there. We're back here at Monongahela County Ballpark for the top of the sixth inning. Taj Porter, Tyler Acosta, and Dominic Bucco will be due up for the Scrappers here. As Ryan Mann continues to pitch very well. He's only thrown 41 pitches through 5 innings. Allowed 2 hits and 1 run. Those hits both came in the fourth. It was part of a very strange both top and bottom half where Mahoning scored once and West Virginia scored 4 times. The Bears added one on in the bottom of the fifth. They lead 5-1. As the first pitch here to Porter is fouled off to the left side quickly, 0-1.
Whenever the opposing team's 8 hitter is only coming up for the second time in the sixth, you know the other team is cooking.
As Mann does not like that baseball, he'll toss it the 0-1 pitch. Hopefully our listeners understand as much as we do what happened in that fourth inning, because I'm still not 100% sure myself. As Mann's 0-1 pitch is just up high for a ball.
It's one of those things you'd have to watch over like a televised broadcast to really understand. It always is hard to explain these odd events here over radio.
As the 1-0 is outside 2-1. I'd like to think we kind of explained it decent.
Yeah.
You at least kind of know what happened. We were confused up here when Washington made the third out in the fourth, and we thought it was the second out, and we had no idea where the runner had gone. As the 2-1 is inside, Mann in danger of walking his first batter of the night. It's the first 3-ball count we've seen for Mann tonight as well. This will also tie the longest at-bat by a Scrapper tonight at 5 pitches. Here it comes. It's up high. It's a leadoff walk.
He knew it right away as he gives himself a bit of a talk back there, a little bit of out of frustration there. But, again, not the worst thing, especially the way Mann's been cooking out there to allow only a walk is the least trouble he's been in.
Friday night here in Morgantown, West Virginia. Classes are back in for the West Virginia Mountaineers. Pretty good crowd at tonight's game. 80s night, fireworks after the game. Black Bears, of course, are a good first-place baseball team, too, as that one's fouled off into the netting, 0-1.
Costa flew out back in the third, which only seems like an inning ago, the way this game's been moving.
Really does. That was part of the 1-2-3 third inning. Runner on first, 0-1, nobody out. Here it comes, swung on and missed strike two. Mann working efficiently once again, trying to rebound from that walk.
Really like that pitcher going off speed after showing him that fastball. If he works that in, his outing here tonight.
Mann's 0-2 delivery is fouled off of the mask of Nolan Metcalf, who appears to be okay. Veltri's going to walk the ball out to Mann as a show of the customary mutual respect between umpire and catcher. Give him a second to get his bearings.
Also helps Metcalf get a little bit more oriented after that, but seem to just take it as well as you can after getting hit in the mask with one of those baseballs.
So 0-2 still on the man out of the University of Illinois Springfield. Tyler Acosta, man's pitch. It is served into right field, a base hit just out of the reach of Houghton. Runners will stay put. Ooh, the throw comes hard into second base. He's back safely. So first and second, nobody out. The Scrappers setting up shot for the top of their order.
Yeah, it just left that one a bit too far in towards the inner part of the plate there, and Acosta does a good job of hitting off the barrel and causing it to slice away from Houghton. The Scrappers are in business now.
So Dominic Bucco now out of Saxonburg, Pennsylvania. That's near my home of Pittsburgh.
Got a lot of those Pennsylvania natives here in this Mahoning Valley lineup.
As the first pitch is in there for a strike. Of course, Mahoning Valley is by Youngstown, Pennsylvania, which is I can get there in about, I would say, a little over an hour, maybe an hour 15 minutes from my house in Pittsburgh. I applied there as well, just as I did to West Virginia. Did not wind up going to either university, of course, as that one is outside ball one.
Get accepted though? Sure. That's
oh
that's
yeah. Don't
one.
You worry about me, Betty.
Oh yeah, the academics part of it, West Virginia is so tough to get into.
I could have went to Harvard, no, I'm just kidding. I definitely could not have went there. As one ball and one strike to Bucco, man sets and delivers. It is down low 2-1. Of course I finally decided on the place where I am going to be a senior at St. Bonaventure University. Highly rival. Two balls and one strike here to Dominic Bucco. He was hit by a pitch in the first and singled and scored in the fourth on the bizarre play by Jeffrey Weller. 2-1. That one is served to center field. It's going to hang up there for Hill. He's got a chance to double off the runner at second. The throw in is just late. Houghton did a great job to hold the bag, but sliding back just in time was Taj Porter. So L8 on your scorecard at home, one away.
Yeah, Hill got that perfectly in stride, hopped a little bit, and just his momentum carried him into that throw. And I would say that was just about the right call there as he got back.
Definitely the right safe call. And I do think Houghton held the bag with his foot, which was very impressive for the outfielder playing infield. So that brings up Will Prater, the double play, 6-4-3 in the first, a productive out in the fourth. He bounced out to third, let the runner move over from second to third on the throw. Dallas, Georgia. The first pitch to him is in there for a strike.
Finally got some movement out there in the West Virginia bullpen as a right-handed pitcher has started to get loose.
That does surprise me a little bit. As man comes set at the belt. First and second, one out here in the fifth. 5-1 West Virginia. It is shot back up the middle. Houghton steps on the bag for one. Throw to first. Hernandez, what a pick. It's a double play. And the Black Bears are out of the inning. Ryan Mann, six strong as he gives Houghton and Hernandez fist bumps coming off the field. Houghton, a nice throw there on the run. We'll head to the bottom of the sixth, 5-1 West Virginia on the Black Bears Radio Network.
Pitches the most he's thrown in an inning, which is insane. I don't see a pitcher.
Yeah.
Oh no, there he comes. Oh. 5-4 State College. That was, I believe, I thought it was Woody getting loose, which is kind of odd. Pitched last night, but he can pitch 2 days in a row. It wasn't Allegri, it wasn't Bravo. Woody.
Back here at Mon County Ballpark. Hopefully you didn't hear us singing along with Living on a Prayer. I wouldn't want to hurt your ears that bad. 80s night here at Monongalia County Ballpark, of course. Nolan Metcalf will lead us off. First time in the RBI single, very hard hit ball the second time. Something we've seen out of Metcalf that has been very encouraging is before a pitch is even thrown, Porter and Palmiere are going to talk. Interesting.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, just probably a mix up of the signs.
And something I love about here at Mon County Ballpark are the images of the real-life Black Bears they put on the board during certain parts of the game here. They've got a bear napping on a log right now. As this is a lengthy conversation. I have no idea what this could be about. Of course, they also have the good little gifs of different shows and movies.
Yeah, the boring one's got to be the best.
Oh,
one.
Yeah. Homer Simpson yelling boring when they throw over to first. I like the Anchorman crew they always have on because the Black Bear Pit at the end of the movie.
Oh, yes, yes.
It's a good one as well. So we're finally ready here in the bottom of the sixth to Nolan Metcalf. The first pitch is chopped foul. Strike one. And you can tell Metcalf is gaining some confidence at the plate just over the last day and a half. As the way he walked up and the way he carries himself in the box right now, he looks more confident, which he did not look at all confident 2 days ago.
Yeah, it's a lot of first pitch swing, which is a tell of that.
The 0-1 pitch, oh, that one is a bad swing. That happens. 0-2. See how Metcalf responds here. As State College has now opened up a 7-4 lead against the Crosscutters, they have a runner on and nobody out in the fifth. Still 3-1 Frederick. Over in Maryland, they play the Thunder. It's, you could call it rivalry weekend here in the draft league as that one's down low as Trenton Frederick, Williamsport State College, who's now made it 8-4, and West Virginia Mahoning are all the teams that are closest to each other in terms of distance. With Mahoning being about a 2.5 or so hour drive from here between each other. The Keys and Thunder are very close as well. I would say, what, a couple hours, if that. As Metcalf hard to third, but Ponce has it. He'll throw across the diamond and record the out 5-3.
Yeah, good job there by Ponce. Getting his body behind it, especially on those hard hit balls, is crucial to fielding it well and no trouble on the throw with the first to Gonzalez.
So Anthony Stellan will step up now. Trenton to Frederick is about a 3 hour drive. About 2.5 from here to Mahoning. And then State College and Williamsport are about 45 minutes, if that. So that's a real rivalry right there.
Oh, yeah.
And they're playing some very meaningful baseball, too. That's got to be real electric up there right now.
Yeah, I was going to say that. The 8-4 game at the bottom of the fifth. Nothing set in stone.
First pitch to Stellan is a strike. The second pitch coming up now. He chops it. A swinging bunt off the mound, but he's not going to get him. It's an infield single for Stellan. He's on base with one out.
I think he could have done without the slide there, Palmiere. But, again, looked athletic enough, but almost got the throw in there to Gonzalez. But, again, it was too slow on the transition as Stellan makes his way to first.
I'll give him credit for the slide there because his all momentum's going that way. That stops it, allows him to pop up quick. It was a nice play, just didn't have enough time. Ball was too slowly hit.
Yeah, scrambled out there.
Turner Hill now, we know he can burn. The left-handed hitter, a big hole on the right side as first baseman holding on the runner, the second baseman shading towards second, double play depth as that one is low, ball one. Probably the last inning for Palmiere as it is still the reliever Michael Spinozzi loosening down there, or he was last time I checked as that one's outside 2-0. Bryce Woody is getting hot in the West Virginia bullpen. It's hard to imagine Mann's coming out of this game, but you never know. Man is only at 56 pitches through six.
Yeah.
So 2-0 here to Hill. I guess they'll just have to wait and see because Woody is getting loose like he's coming in. 2-1 now as that's in there for a strike. Here in the bottom of the sixth inning, the Bears up 5-1. Mahoney struck first in the fourth with an RBI double. Then the Bears put up four in the bottom of that frame. One in the fifth. Now have a runner on, one out here in the sixth. The runner goes. Here's the throw down. It's going to be late. He is safe. Just barely, but he beat it.
Everything about that play was pretty as close to perfect as you can get. Stellan had a good jump, and Prater had a good transition over there to second, but the throw by Porter was just a little bit late, and Stellan was able to get in there.
Good execution all around
by
everybody, but probably Palmiere. Maybe a little too slow to the plate, but good throw by Porter, a good tag attempt by Stellan. So 1-0 now, or excuse me, 3-1 as that one, is called a strike.
It was halfway to first until Veltri called him back.
Veltri, I think it was last time he was behind the plate too. Drew and I had some choice words for him as tonight he's been a little inconsistent. Not terrible though. So now 3-2 to Hill, runner in scoring position. Here's the pitch. It's well inside. That one's definitely ball four. So first and second, one out now for Maddox Houghton.
Maddox Houghton, of course, not being his usual production tonight. Double play, strikeout, and fielder's choice.
That's going to be it for Mason Palmiere, it looks like. We will, so maybe not. Yep, he's calling for the bullpen. Manager Homer Bush went out. I didn't know if he was going to call for him or not, but he does. We believe that it is number 36, Michael Spinozzi, that is coming into this game. We will grab his numbers for you whenever we find them on our sheet. The joys of broadcasting, Manny.
You know, it was what got Palmiere out through this game was that he tried to work from out to in a lot, and I think the Black Bears just got a hold of that, got used to that very quickly, and that's where the big inning came from, especially from the 5-8 hitters in that lineup. So I think just the lack of variety in his pitches and locations and routine in those pitches really cost him here.
So it is first and second with one out here as Palmiere exits. His pretty much final line, all but runs are final for him at the moment. He goes 5 1/3 innings. He gives up 9 hits. For now it's 5 runs, 4 earned. He walks 3, strikes out 4. He faces a total of 28 batters. The new Mahoning Valley arm is Michael Spinozzi, that is for sure. Now I see the 36 as clear as day. Spinozzi out of Miami University in Ohio, former collegiate institution of Ben Roethlisberger, out of Southlake, Texas. Spinozzi, as Bill Nevin pronounces it, he probably knows better than us. He's appeared in 3 games, he's pitched 6 innings, he has yet to allow a run. 2 hits only, a walk, 6 strikeouts, a whip of 0.50, and an opponent average of 1.05. So very impressive numbers here for Spinozzi.
Yeah, and the guy, the most ideal guy you'd want out here with a runner on first and second, only one out, possibly get that double play, make quick work of his debut here in this series.
Spinozzi has a pure free 3-pitch mix, but does offer 5 total pitches. The fastball at 48% of the time, the changeup at 27, and the slider at 21 really keeps the hitter guessing. He's thrown a curveball and a cutter at 3 1%, but don't expect those much at all tonight. As for the double play, he gets a ground ball about 42% of the time the ball is put in play. So definitely something to watch there as he continues to toss his warm-up pitches. Bryce Woody appears to be ready out there. It'll be very interesting to see if he comes in relief of Ryan Mann already, who, with a four-run lead right now, I'd love to see Mann head back out there. He's only had 56 pitches.
Yeah, and if he doesn't come out, you just assume it was all predetermined that he would only go this amount of innings. But you never know. He has earned it. Nobody would have guessed he would have pitched so efficiently as he did tonight.
Absolutely. So Maddox Houghton is ready to go. Michael Spinozzi is ready to go. He comes set in the first pitch to Houghton, who shows bunt but pulls back. It's high. So 86 is the final number of pitches that Palmiere throws. He didn't pitch awful, not great. Didn't get all kinds of help back there by his defense. Was better in the first three than the last three, that's for sure. He's responsible for both the runners on base. His decent outing could turn into a bad one if they can come across, as that one is just missing high, two balls and no strikes.
He appears to try and be setting up for a dipping off-speed pitcher going back-to-back with the high fastball.
Did he roll out a strike? Scoreboard says 1-1.
I didn't see him.
That one is definitely a strike. We'll see if Tony Valtteri gives a 1-2 or a 2-1. I'm not very sure. Once again, I mentioned before, Veltri's been very subtle.
Yeah,
he hasn't been motioning all his strikes, which really throws us off up here. So the scoreboard says 1-2. I'm going to act like it's 1-2. Here it comes. Houghton fouls it off. So now there's definitely two strikes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I didn't see any strike sign from Valtteri.
It is 2-2, so we were right up here.
Okay.
Two balls and two strikes now on Maddox Houghton, first and second and one out. He's out of Dalton, Georgia in Lipscomb University. He hit 300 there this year. Of course, he actually has dropped below 400. He's 0-3 tonight. He's at 395. So looking to get that average back up over 400 as he calls time. So we'll have to wait a little longer for the 2-2.
Similar to the first couple hitters in this Black Bears lineup, they all kind of struggled here thus far. It's been the bottom half that's really done most of the heavy hitting.
As Houghton fouls this one off to the right side, it's going to get out of play to the berm. We'll do the 2-2 once again. Five, bottom of the sixth, this game has slowed with the entrance of Michael Spinozzi, the 6-foot, 185-pound right-hander out of the University of Miami of Ohio. As Houghton puts a charge into this one, deep to left center field, giving chase and making the grab is Bucko, tagging and heading from second to third is Stellan. So two away, it's a flyout for Houghton. Ryan Hernandez time.
Yeah, no doubt about the tag. But the flyout did seem a bit promising once it made the jump off the bat. But Bucko did a good job of tracking it and keeping it to the one out.
Big Ryan Hernandez now, number 18. He's hit the ball hard three times. He's got a single and two lineouts to the left fielder. If he leaves the yard here, this game was, you could pretty much write this one off.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be all but over here. And it's not many occasions you see the Black Bears have such a big advantage in the hit column especially, but it's all gone right here tonight for the Black Bears.
Absolutely. 9-3 out hitting Mahoning, outscoring them 5-0 as well. Each team with an error. As Hernandez with the runner on first and third will take a ball outside 1-0. That was the off-speed pitch at 82. Hernandez hitting 348 with his 1-for-3 tonight. Mentioned before, he's hit the ball hard all three times. First and third, two outs, 1-0 to Hernandez. The pitch swung on and missed. Ball gets away from the catcher and allows Hill to reach second base, so a single will make it a 7-1 game.
Yeah, definitely. The pitch got away from him and got Hernandez to swing and miss, but unfortunately, Hill does move up to second. Runners in scoring position to the guy you'd least want to be up to bat.
Absolutely, you do not. So we'll see if they work around him. Of course, he's got protection. It's Logan Mathieu. He already has a ground rule double and a single tonight, along with a walk. He has not been retired. So they're going to come after him or not. We'll see, as that ball's well outside, 2-1 from Spinozzi. We'll see the official rolling on that, whether it's a pass ball or a wild pitch. We'll let you know when we do. It's a pass ball on the catcher, Taj Porter. So two balls and one strike on Hernandez. Spinozzi looks in, gets his sign, comes set at the letters, and delivers. Outside ball three. Doesn't look like they want much of a part of Hernandez, and I don't blame them.
No, yeah, definitely trying to get Hernandez out to reach and definitely produce that ground ball to keep the runners at bay and produce the last out either way. But, again, you got to come after him here because, as you mentioned, Matthew's on deck and he hasn't even been retired yet.
Hernandez has a pretty good eye up there. He's a pretty professional-looking hitter with some pop. Hits for average. 3-1 on Hernandez. The pitch is outside. They wanted no part of him after the pass ball. So the bases are loaded for a guy who I personally would not want much of either. It's pick your poison for the Black Bears. A good luxury to have. Logan Mathieu now.
Yeah, Mathieu, after hitting that ground rule double, finds himself in an even better situation this time around, because if he produces anything close to that, this game will definitely just rip itself wide open.
We've seen three or four grand slams at the mound this year by the Black Bears. Logan Mathieu has at least one of them. I know that for a fact. Out of Bellefonte, Pennsylvania, and Liberty University. Bases loaded, two outs. The first pitch to Mathieu is chopped foul at the plate or in and out of the glove. Either way, it's a strike.
I seem to light up there for Mathieu. That one was about thigh level and just took an absolute home run swing at it, but got nothing but air there for strike one.
So Logan Mathieu wide open with one swing of the bat. Spinozzi looks in, gets his signs, comes set up high by the neck. And the 0-1 pitch is ripped to right field. That one's going to get down and score two. Cut off by Washington. It's a two RBI single. And the Black Bears lead it 7-1.
A very similar pitch that he swung on and missed around thigh level. But this time he got all of it off the top of the bat. And Washington had no other choice but to watch it bounce into his glove. Two runners score easily. 5-1. It should be 7-1. Scoreboard says 6-1, but by my count, it's 7-1.
Yes.
If I could do that simple math.
Correct.
Black Bears have really opened it up now for themselves.
So 7-1 for Adon Fernandez. That closes the book on Palmiere, who goes 5 1/3, 9 hits, 7 runs, 6 earned, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. He faced 28. So that mediocre to okay outing turns into a bad one. As the first pitch here to Fernandez is outside. Everyone on base, including the batter, now Spinozzi's responsibility, as he could not prevent these inherited runners from scoring. Two outs for Fernandez, 1-0. The pitch is popped way up in the air around second base position, and DePasquale will make the catch to put an end to this one, but not before the Black Bears get two more. They lead it 7-1, going to the top of the seventh here on the Black Bears Radio Network. So Bryce Woody relieves Ryan Mann, who, man, was he good tonight. Mann's final line here. He goes six innings, gives up three hits, one run it was earned, a walk, two strikeouts. He only tosses 56 pitches. Absolute brilliance from Ryan Mann tonight. He gives way to Bryce Woody. We saw him in last night's game. He pitched an inning and a third of effective baseball. He's 0-0 with a 5.40 ERA and 8 1/3 innings and 8 appearances. He's given up 5 earned runs, 13 hits, hit 1, walked 5, struck out 5, a whip of 2.61. Woody features a fastball, a slider, a changeup, and a curveball. As the first pitch here to Weller is in there for a strike.
Yeah, to the point you just touched on, Ryan Mann, absolute brilliant performance here by the right-hander. I thought he would struggle initially.
That one's outside, 1-1 to Weller, who struck out and doubled, got an RBI double back in the fourth, but we think he missed second base and was called out. It was all kinds of confusion up here. As it's 1-1, that one's fouled off to the screen, 1-2. Mann ends up facing only 20 hitters as well. A very efficient day. I cannot think of one negative from Mann today. As that one's up high for a ball. He only threw about, 13 out of 56 balls. Something like that.
Yeah. No, yeah, it was around there. But, again, just the location was the best part of his performance, just pinpoint accuracy, especially with that fastball, had it working wonders today.
That one's outside, 3-2. The Bears lead 7-1 here in the top of the seventh inning. This game got started at 7:05. We're at 8:50 right now. That one is fouled off the gear of Metcalf. We'll do it the 3-2 again.
Wasn't sure if that was Metcalf or Veltri that got it off the mask.
I think it was Veltri, by the way. He's flexing his neck down there. It hit someone.
Yeah, you could hear the noise it made.
Willer out of the University of Pittsburgh, St. Mary's, Pennsylvania. That's up north by where I go to school. It's north central PA, if that is the St. Mary's that he's from. 6'195". 3-2 pitch from Woody. Here it comes. He got him looking. A beautiful frame by Nolan Metcalf. Weller can't believe it. One away.
Stopped him right in his tracks on his way to first. A little premeditated, says Veltri, as he rings him up there. And Woody throws a perfect curveball right there on the outer part of the corner.
Ron Washington will come up now, the other Pitt Panther in this lineup.
A very successful night for the Pitt players.
Not quite, just the RBI double, that's all. And he missed second base as well, so high for a ball. I gotta be very specific, Manny. I root for Pitt football because Bonnie's doesn't have a football team. I'll root if they're playing, but like I'm Bonaventure for everything else. As that one's down low, 2-0. I don't wanna say I could care less, but like if Pitt's on, like, oh, go Pitt, but you know, I don't, like, go out of my way to follow them like I do for football.
I mean, it's not looking very bright this year for them for football.
Oh, I don't know about that one, as that one's high and deep to center field. Hill has room. He makes the catch. They're only ranked 17th in the AP pool. I don't see the Mountaineers on there. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, at what point do these rankings, who makes these rankings?
The AP, man, the AP.
I'm sure those will change after the first week. Pitt,
oh, boy.
Pitt, West Virginia.
I can't wait now. As two outs for Gabe Gonzalez. Can you tell it's almost football season? I can't. Gonzalez out of Cal State Northridge. As that one's outside. A ball and a strike. Quick two outs here for Woody. Out of Mission Hills, California. That's English. We love our Spanish-sounding towns and cities here at the booth. As that one is, just missing low. So 2-0 on the scrapper first baseman.
Who out his two previous times. And a lot like his teammates here,
1-0, and that one is ripped a short past the diving Stellan into the left center field gap. Cut off well by Jump. A strong throw towards second base is going to go over the head of Houghton. Either way, it's a double. No advance, two outs, man on second.
Couldn't tell who made that throw, but it was just a little bit fielded slowly, and Stellan initially tried to stop that one, but hit way too hard for him to make a play on. A good attempt, but Gonzalez is in there at second base.
Oscar Ponce, at Brownsville, Texas native. 6 foot tall, 220 pounds. He's at third base tonight. He's bounced out to second and popped out to second, so he must have taken a liking to Maddox Houghton over there. Dancing off of second base, literally, as Gonzalez, as that first one is in there for a strike. He's jumping all around back there trying to get in Woody's head.
Trying to do anything to get into the pitcher's head here of the Black Cards that they've been all on their A game.
7-1 West Virginia as Woody kicks and delivers in there quickly. No balls and two strikes. Woody once again was effective last night. Pitched a good inning and a third. Did the job Jed Jerko needed him to do before Ian McMahon came in to face the left-handed hitters and got the two outs. Bit unconventional, but he got them as Turner Hill was in left last night. Threw a runner out at the plate. No balls and two strikes. Woody kicks and delivers. Chopped foul at the plate. Stays 0-2, and we will do it again.
Wouldn't be surprised if Woody throws it back to Helen or Stellan, either one out there, to try and get Gonzalez there, as he's been one of the more eager base runners I've seen here in the last couple series.
So 0-2 still. Woody had to get some rosin. He's ready now. Taking his lead off a second is Gonzalez, top of the seventh. Bears lead it by six. The pitch, it's a feeble swing and a miss. Bryce Woody with a nice inning. Strikes out two. We'll head to the bottom of the seventh. Time to stretch at Mon County Ballpark. The score, 7 for West Virginia, 1 for Mahoning Valley.
Trying to come back against the Red Legs. 3-2.
Back here at Mon County Ballpark for the bottom of the seventh inning. Michael Spinozzi coming out for his first full inning of work after coming in relief last inning. He threw 15 pitches last inning. It'll be Elliot Fontes and Metcalf that will have the responsibility of getting hits off of Michael Spinozzi. Mahoning Valley right-hander delivers high, ball one. The Scrappers have only officially left two men on base tonight. That is quite the opposite from what we saw yesterday, as the Keys left 16 runners on base. Absolutely incredible number right there, as this one is in there. Fouled off for reference. If in a 9-inning game you leave the bases loaded every inning, that's 27. So they left all but 9 possible runners on base, which is mind-blowing. They only scored twice.
That's crazy. Yeah, over half of that margin. That's out
As the 1-1 pitch just missing up high, according to home plate umpire Tony Veltri. 2-1, your umpires tonight once again. Tony Veltri behind the plate, Ben Smith over at first, and Cam Haney is at third. The 2-1 pitch is swung on and missed. Two balls and two strikes to Elliott, who has a strikeout swinging, a walk and a run, and then an RBI sacrifice fly his last time up. That made it 5-1 at the time, now 7-1 West Virginia. Spinozzi getting his side, winding up and delivering. In there, got him a beautiful breaking ball at the knees. He knew it right away. He strikes out looking, one gone.
Yeah, it seemed like he was going to just dip in there as soon as I saw him left his hand. And, yeah, an outstanding pitch there by Spinozzi. No talk back from Elliott there as he turned around quickly and headed back to the dugout, one out.
Yeah, that's just one of those. You'll get that every once in a while. Any player will just get frozen on it, fold. Just got to take your medicine, head back, and get him the next time up. As State College has tacked on another lead, 9-4 in the seventh against the Crosscutters. So as it stands right now, State College will have a two-game lead on the Crosscutters for second place. As that one's up high, ball one to Fontes. Of course, the Bears in first, but it doesn't really matter as they've already clinched a spot in the championship game. They will host September 6th. It's a Tuesday night here at Monongahela County Ballpark. Tickets on sale at WestVirginiaBlackBears.com, as that one's in there for a strike. You won't want to miss it. I'm sad I'm going to, because I'm going to be up at school. If I wasn't so far, I would come back, but, you know.
Definitely try and tune into that for sure.
Oh, I will 1,000% be listening. One ball and one strike. The pitch to Fontes is up high. Two balls and a strike. But tickets are still on sale. You want to see the first ever MLB Draft League Championship game and see if the Bears can pull it out. Two balls and a strike to the man out of Bonita, California. The pitch is fouled off the mask of the catcher, Porter, who's taken a beating back there tonight.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. The third time by my count that the ball has made contact with initially. Gets a little tap on the head by Veltri to urge him on to keep going. The game's almost over.
Two balls and two strikes to West Virginia's right fielder. He's got a couple singles and a pop out today, a couple RBIs as well, and a run. The 2-2 pitch is in the dirt. And to the backstop, it doesn't matter, though. Three balls and two strikes. The two RBI single and run came back in the fourth inning when the Black Bears exploded for four and took a 4-1 lead. Of course, the RBI single gave the Black Bears the first two runs of the game. Payoff pitch coming from Spinozzi. Here it is. Foul to the screen. We will do it again.
That time, Fontes with a little bit more on top of that breaking ball there as it did drop, but he did get a good amount of the bat on it, but still managed to go foul. We'll do it again at 3-2.
About an hour north of us in Pittsburgh, the Pirates were down 3-0 at one point, have now come back to tie the game at 3. Tons of MLB action going on right now. Not quite a full slate for Major League Baseball on this. Or it is a full slate, excuse me, on Friday, as that one is lined to third, but right at Ponce, he'll make the grab, two away.
Great contact again by Elliott, actually better than his previous swing, but unfortunately it was right at Ponce, who doesn't have to move and record the second out.
So Nolan Metcalf will come in. He's been carrying himself with some more confidence. He's hit the ball hard a couple more times tonight after he's struggled pretty much for the entirety of this season, so hoping he can turn it around. He shows some signs of it as well. The first pitch is inside, ball one.
Great movement on that, again, on that breaking ball there. Tried to get the inner corner, but Metcalf wasn't moving, and Veltri didn't give him the strike call, 1-0.
The 1-0 to Metcalf is in there for a strike, one ball and one strike now on the Black Bear catcher.
Almost identical pitch there, but this time did catch the inside part of the plate.
West Virginia leads at 7-1 here in the seventh. Spinozzi winds up and delivers. Metcalf with a baseball two. It's going to get to the wall. Metcalf chugging around first to second. He will put on the brakes. Nolan Metcalf with a double, and it's safe to say he's out of the slump.
I would go as far as saying that. I definitely would. That ball was hit as perfect as you would like. That either outfielder, I should say, Bucko Washington, wasn't getting to that one. Metcalf charges into second base, and he is definitely catching fire here in this back-to-back home series we have here.
It's a good time to catch fire down the stretch as the Bears head into the championship game. Want to stay sharp, cannot get complacent, that is for sure. So Anthony Stellan now, out of Concord University. That one is down low for a ball. Two outs. The runner on second is Metcalf. That might be his first extra base hit, or one of his first extra base hits here in this draft league. Out of Woodbridge, Virginia is Stellan. I mentioned Concord University, as he will take a pitch that's going to go to the backstop. Metcalf's going to go to third without a throw. A wild pitch. And anything put in play that Stellan can reach on will more than likely get the run home.
Yeah, absolutely. And that one, just another pitch in the dirt. We've seen a couple of them from these Mahoning Valley pitchers. And with the beating Porter's taking back there, it is reasonable to think that getting his body behind and hitting him would he would be tentative to that.
So two balls and no strikes on the shortstop, excuse me, for the Black Bears. He will check his swing, but it does not matter. That was in the zone. Two balls and a strike. The top of the order would be next if it gets there. Two balls and a strike. Two outs, runner on third. That's outside. 3-1. We're a pitch away from it getting there officially. We have no action out there in Frederick. Or excuse me. There's one. Frederick. It's Mahoning Valley we're playing. It looks like, I believe it's Brian Williams is up for West Virginia. Three balls and a strike. The pitch is popped up to the right side. DePasquale and Washington coming in. Washington calls him off and puts an end to this inning. We will head to the eighth. It looks like it's going to be Brian Williams entering when we come back. 7-1 West Virginia on the Black Bears Radio Network. So Brian Williams will enter for the West Virginia Black Bears. Bryce Woody goes a clean inning, gives up a hit from him. He pitched last night as well, of course. So Brian Williams enters out of Texas Southern University, the Southwestern Athletic Conference, the SWAC, and HBCU school, Texas Southern. Williams this year, 0-2 with a 10.64 ERA. He's 5 games, 1 start, 11 innings. He's given up 13 runs on 17 hits, a home run. Has not hit a batter yet. 5 walks to 11 Ks, a whip of 2 even, an opponent average of 3.33. All of those numbers are inflated by one bad start. We've seen him be effective before, and him and Ryan Mann have really kind of flip-flopped, and they've appeared in games together. They've piggybacked off each other before. Williams is a guy who can go length here, so what are you expecting here, Manny?
Yeah, I think I'm expecting kind of a comeback performance, or a more secure performance from it, as did with Ryan Mann, who has surprised really everybody out here. I'm expecting the same from Brian Williams, who is playing with a cushion, you could say, at 7-1.
That one is fouled back to the screen. 0-1, definitely a cushion for sure. Woody only threw 16 pitches, by the way. So Williams out of Bryan, Texas. Brian Williams out of Bryan, Texas. Brian spelled B-R-I-A-N in his name, B-R-Y-A-N in the town he's from. As that one is hit high in the air into shallow center field. Turner Hill coming in routinely will make the grab quickly, one away.
Really, when you have Hill, Howen, and even Stellan out there, there's really no doubt one of them will make that play. And pretty routine out there by the flying WVU. Easy first out for Brian Williams.
Primarily a three pitch, but has a fourth pitch in his arsenal. Fastball about 55% of the time, a slider 19%, a changeup 18%, and a curveball at 4% of the time for Williams. As the first pitch here is low and away to Taj Porter. Porter struck out looking and walked. As the 1-0 pitch is swung on and missed for a strike, one ball, one strike. DePasquale, was the first batter of the inning. He flew out to center. His second one of those today. He's 0-3 now. As Porter fouls this one off into the camera well on the third base side. So 1-2.
Has been working from the middle to the inside part of the batter here with against Taj Porter. Williams, see if he goes outside here.
Here's the pitch, and Williams takes it right back up the middle, but it's going to hang up there for Turner Hill, who him and Houghton are just so natural out there in center field.
There's really no doubt about it, and again, the Scrubbers have got to be kicking themselves just with the unfortunate events that they've just hit it out to the outfield, but has found either Fernandez, Hill, and Fontes for most parts tonight.
So two outs now for the number nine hitter, Tyler Acosta. We talk about the bottom three of the order all the time. As Acosta's 1-for-2 with a single today. That one's in there for a strike. Combine the eight plate appearances. DePasquale is 0-for-3. Porter is 0-for-2 with a walk. And Acosta's 1-for-2 with a single. As the 0-1 pitch now is in there quickly, 0-2. Brian Williams working efficiently thus far. So that's a combined 1-for-7 with a walk thus far. And if as Williams kicks in and delivers, it is fouled off to the right side. If Acosta makes an out, it'll be 1-for-8 with a walk. So not what you like to see. In contrast, the Black Bears have had two RBIs, a couple runs, and a bunch of hits come from their bottom three in 12 tries. As they'll appeal down to the first base umpire, Ben Smith. He did not go, 1-2.
Yeah, just looking at that roster, when your last two guys are hitting 186 and 160 for Acosta, it's never going to be very productive.
Acosta will send this one to left center field. Turner Hill's busy out there as he camps under it and makes the grab. So three on the fly, an easy 1-2-3 inning for Brian Williams. We'll head to the bottom of the eighth. West Virginia 7-1.
All right, Shayna, if you like Shayna, go ahead and make some noise.
So out for a second full inning of work is Michael Spinozzi, as Brian Williams pitched a solid bottom half of the, or top half of the eighth, 11 pitches only. Turner Hill, Maddox Houghton, and Ryan Hernandez coming to the plate. Spinozzi again, the catcher's going to go talk to the pitcher before the start of the inning. Crowd yelling, let's go.
A lot quicker visit than the last one.
Yeah, just kind of odd that you wouldn't talk in the dugout or before the inning started, you know? So the first pitch now to Turner Hill from Spinozzi is outside for a ball. No balls and a strike, or excuse me, one ball and a strike. Go ahead.
I was just going to say Turner Hill hasn't gotten an actual hit since the first inning, walked in his last plate appearance.
That one is slapped to the left side and foul. I was going to say he technically has not gotten a hit outside the infield yet either.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, looking at the scorecard here.
Still 9-4 State College. Frederick now up 4-1 on Trenton. 7-1 West Virginia here. 1-1 pitch to Hill is high and inside, 2-1.
You have some more action there in the very active West Virginia bullpen tonight. Another right-hander, it seems, getting loose out there.
And that one is high, 3-1. So Williams might have just been asked to pitch one inning, and if he did so, he did a fantastic job at it. Three-one pitch, Hill into center field. There's the base hit, and he's going to try for two. The ball's going to roll to the wall. I don't know if he's going to stop. He's not. He's headed for third. The throw is not good. It's a triple to lead off the inning for Turner Hill. That's the Turner Hill we know.
A well-deserved full crowd applause by everybody sitting here. The hit was impeccable right off the top of the bat. There no chance for a deep Pasquale, and Bongo takes the bat angle and even worse throw there, and Hill gets in there pretty comfortably to lead off this eighth inning, or bottom half.
So Maddox Houghton will come up, extend their lead. They are at 6 right now. They lead at 7-1. Houghton tonight is 0-4, a very uncharacteristic down night for Maddox Houghton, but those do happen. As that one is up high, ball one, you can't sustain the 400 clip. Of course, if you're Turner Hill, you can. He's at 450 right now. The 1-0. Right back up the middle off the glove. It's going to ricochet to the shortstop. He'll throw, not in time. That's a hard hit ball. It's a single for Houghton and an RBI as well. It's 8-1 West Virginia.
Prater did have the ball tracked there going to his left side, but it did ricochet off of Spinozzi and then cause Prater to kind of backtrack and go back the opposite way and made sure that Maddox Houghton got into first on that infield single and scored the run.
So Ryan Hernandez will come up now, and wouldn't it be cool if we saw an H-bomb right here?
Oh, that would just be the icing on the cake, as they say.
Spinozzi walked Hernandez his first time that he saw him, as Hernandez gets way under it and puts it right up into the night sky, and making the grab is DePasquale, excuse me, at second base for the first out.
Yeah, it seems he just wanted to join the hit party a little bit too soon. Ryan Hernandez got it in on his hand and just an easy out for DePasquale on that very high pop-up.
So Logan Matthews steps in now, and Mahoney has not gotten him out at the plate yet tonight. A single in the first, a walk and a run in the fourth, a double and a run in the fifth, and a two RBI single in the sixth. The first pitch to Matthew is up high, ball one, so that's 3-for-3, a couple runs, a couple RBIs, and a walk. It's a pretty good day.
Absolutely. Has just been so patient up there on the plate and getting the pitch he's looking for, and most often then not, the scrappers pitchers have obliged.
The 1-0. Matthew slaps it the other way, and fair ball. It's going to get into the corner. Logan Matthew just keeps on hitting. Houghton held at third. Matthew into second with a stand-up double. His fourth hit, second double, and the Bears in business once again.
And right on cue there, slaps it the opposite way. A lot of hits off the top part of the bats here for the West Virginia Black Bears. And luckily for the Scrappers, that one didn't score. It was just hit too hard out there. Kind of helped the cost out there.
So that'll bring up Adon Fernandez. One out, second and third here. 8-1 West Virginia, looking to get into double digits with a base hit. The first pitch by Spinozzi is in there for a strike. 0-1. I see nobody up in West Virginia's bullpen. You got to think it's Brian Williams' game to finish. 1-for-3 with a hit by a pitch today is Adon Fernandez. The 0-1 is swung on and missed, in and out of the glove. It gets to the backstop, and the run is going to score. Make it 9-1, Bears.
It seems like we're finally getting that those repercussions of the hit to the wrist to the catch reporters. That one hit, again, off of his glove and easily scores Howen. 9-1, Black Bears, really more than over, really, at this. We're just all insurance runs now.
Yeah, that's got to be a pass ball. Was right in and out of his glove. So 0-2 now. Runner on third. 9-1 West Virginia here in the bottom of the eighth. We have some action in the bullpen. It doesn't look like anything serious, though, as that one is way up in the air. In the infield again. DePasquale under it and will make the catch. So two away. You got to think that this was just Spinozzi's game at this point. They just need him to eat innings.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think targeting the inside part of the plate has worked a lot better for him. A lot of those extra base hits have come off of his throws to the outside part. So, again, easy second out there. One away from getting out of it.
In the inning, 9-1 West Virginia lead. Elliott now stepping in. Sacrifice fly back in the fifth and a walk and a run in the fourth. Those are sandwiched between two strikeouts. As that one's chopped to second, DePasquale, a tough play, charging a nice throw to first, and the inning is over. But not before the Black Bears strike for two more. It's almost time to go home here. We'll head to the ninth inning. West Virginia with an 8-run lead. Back here for the top of the ninth inning at Monongalia County Ballpark. Brian Williams will get his second inning of work. Good first inning, that's for sure. Dominic Bucco, Will Prater, and Jeff Weller, will be the first three to greet Williams here in this ninth inning, the top of the order. First pitch is down low, ball one. It was a fly out, a line out, and a fly out all to Turner Hill last inning as Williams threw 11 pitches. Very efficient. The 1-0 to the leadoff man, Bucco, is popped to the left side. Stellan giving chase. He'll call everybody off and make the catch. So four up, four down here, one gone in the ninth.
And good location for Williams to kind of entice Bucko to go after, and he does, but it just results in a pop-up that so Stellan easy first out.
So one away here for the number two hitter, Will Prater. Prater tonight, a double play, a ground out to third, and another double play. So he's put the ball on the ground three times to second, short, and third as that one misses down low. All he's missing is the ground ball to first. He could go around the horn. Here's the pitch. It is in there for a strike at the knees. A beautiful pitch by Williams, who looks really good tonight.
Yeah, really just continuing on what Mann did and what he did before him.
That one is swung on and missed. A high fastball. Quickly a ball and two strikes.
Very talkative with Tony Beltre down there.
A little frustration has to be creeping in for Mahoning hitters, and that one's grounded to second. Houghton has it. He'll flip to first. That one's more routine. Scored 4-3, and we are one out away here at Monongalia County Ballpark.
Houghton just makes it seems to becoming more comfortable out there at second. Each time he sees a field one, seems a lot more natural than his center field position.
Absolutely. He just needs reps over there, so it'll be Pitt. Strikeout looking, an RBI double where he missed second and was called out, and then another strikeout looking for the number three hitter. The first pitch is up high, ball one. West Virginia has pretty much dominated this entire game, as you'd expect. Williams comes set and delivers. It's found back to the screen, a ball and a strike.
Bit late on that one. Good location there, middle part of the zone, about chest, middle of the chest level, but was too late, like I mentioned, and fouled it off.
The 1-1 from Williams is hit in the air to center. Hill goes back. He camps under it. Black Bears win. West Virginia takes care of business. Stellan and Houghton, chest bump behind the bag. The outfielders come together and do their rigmarole out there and put it in the win column, Manny.
Yeah, and what else can you say? Everything fell into place as it should, riding the momentum after coming off of the sweep of the Keys, and ride the wave they did. Absolutely plastered nine runs on the scrappers here to their one, and really outbeat them in every category here tonight. Really an all-around win here for the Black Bears.
My name's not Manny. Your name's Manny. I'm Michael Seitz with Manny Maradiaga, or who knows at this point.
After this game, yeah, who knows.
Bizarre fourth inning, which we'll get into in a second. Potted five total runs, one for the Scrappers, four for the Black Bears. So let's try this again. My name's Michael Seitz alongside Manny Maradiaga, and we are going to break this one down for you as the team gets a standing ovation from this crowd here, and it's well-deserved. So getting the start today was Ryan Mann, and boy, was he good. Mann goes six fantastic innings, only throws 56 pitches, allows three hits and one run. It was earned. Walks one, strikes out two, hits one, faces 20. The run came when Jeffrey Weller doubled. Actually, they're giving him credit for a single right now. On a line drive to the left fielder, Fernandez, Dominic Bucko scored from third. He missed the second base bag, was called out. It was very bizarre. We had no idea what was going on for about 5 minutes. And that was it for Mahoning. West Virginia put up nine. In the bottom of the fourth, Ruben Fontes singled home a pair on a little flare to shortstop, past shortstop, with the bases loaded. That made it 2-1. Nolan Metcalf then with an RBI single to make it 3-1. Anthony Stellan with an RBI groundout made it 4-1. In the fifth, Jack Elliott's sack fly gave a 5-1 West Virginia advantage. Logan Matthews singled on a line drive to the right fielder, scoring Turner Hill and Anthony Stellan with the bases loaded. That made it 7-1. Maddox Houghton in the ace singled in Turner Hill, making it 8-1. He would later come around to score on a pass ball. That was 9-1. And that was all the scoring. West Virginia kind of cruised here. Out of the bullpen, Bryce Woody, a solid inning, allowing a hit, striking out two. And then Brian Williams with a very impressive two innings. He only threw 19 pitches, six up, six down. A very good sign for Jed Jerko and the Black Bears. Manny, your final thoughts on tonight's game?
What I can't get over looking at this scorecard is that, and recently a trend that the Black Bears have with their opponents is that they do allow you one inning to kind of like stay in the game and kind of possibly take the lead as most teams have. But it's always been like the wheels have fallen off for most of these or the last two teams. And that's where it's really kind of bit them in the back for the Frederick Keys last series. And now same trend continues here in the first game for the Scrappers. If they don't capitalize on that one inning that the Black Bears kind of give them to stay in it, give them a chance to, the pitching might fall off a little bit. If they don't take advantage there, the Black Bears have really not been or have not felt bad about putting their foot on the opposing team's neck and keeping it there, and that's led to this win streak that they have right now.
Absolutely. It's kind of like they're toying with their prey almost.
Absolutely.
So that's all we got for tonight. We'll be back. It's my final broadcast of the year. Kind of sad about that one, Manny. I'm having
I thought tomorrow was your... Yeah, tomorrow.
Oh,
I thought you said tonight.
No. Tomorrow is the last one. The fireworks are about to start, so we got to wrap it up here. But like I said before, 9-1, the Bears win. We'll be back tomorrow, 6:40-ish pregame, a 7:05 first pitch against the Scrappers. We'll look to take the series. So for everybody in the control room, public address announcer Bill Nevin, GM Leanne Sonato, my broadcast partner Manny Mara Diege, and me, Michael Seitz. Thank you for listening to the West Virginia Black Bears Radio Network. Final score, 9-1 West Virginia on the Black Bears Radio Network. Have a good day. Go Bears.